If you're wondering why I'm not speaking today, you can quit wondering and just listen to my voice. But we're blessed to have Norberto Otero with us today. He's born in Panama and has worked all over Latin America, a graduate of Harding University. And he's here with Marina, his wife, and with Sabrina, his daughter, and Sebastian, his son. Very interesting family. She has a native language, which is Russian, but talking about his wife, Marina. And so she speaks to the children in Russian. He has a native language, his own, Spanish, and so he speaks to the children in Spanish. And then all of them speak English, and they have a joke we tell amongst missionaries. What do you call somebody that can speak many, many, many languages? They're polylingual. What about somebody that speaks three, trilingual? Bilingual is two. And what do you call somebody that speaks only one? American. And but the interesting thing is they even accomplished that. They're Americans as well. And we're blessed to have them here with us today. He is a superintendent of a vice superintendent, I think it is, of a elementary school in Texas. And they were up in Nebraska visiting some common friends that we have and told me they would like to come by and visit us. What a blessing. And we're so happy they've been with us in our home. And I pray the only thing they don't take back from here is whatever it is that's affecting me. But we're glad that they could come our way and spend some time in our home and share their lives with us. It's the most lengthy period of time that Norberto and I have ever been able to be together. He was with me when they had the flood that was going on down in Venezuela back many, many years ago when thousands of people died. And we dug people's homes out of the mud and everything else and traveled around together. And he's worked in other places like Mitch over in Honduras when the hurricane went through there. And we found each other again working in the same field. So we've just sporadically worked together, but come to appreciate each other a lot. And so we're blessed to have him with us today to share from God's word. And I'm so glad he's here to help us out for several reasons, obviously. Come on up. Normally I would lead a lengthy prayer when I have a guest like this, but today it'll be rather short. Father, we're so thankful for Norberto, for his ministry, for his wife and children. We're thankful that he could spend a few days with us and share some things from your word today. And I pray that you'll help us to really appreciate what he's going to teach us and to be able to put it into practice in our lives. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Morning. How are you? May God bless you. How many of you enjoyed the 60-degree weather yesterday? That was wonderful, wasn't it? My kids had a blast. There in Texas, we don't have many slopes, much less snow. To be honest, we don't know how to slide in the snow, so my wife and my kids had a time of learning how to balance yourself as you go down on the hill, and also as there are these mounts. Sebastian, he loves taking risks or doing something out of the ordinary, jumping and doing that. So he told me, and I didn't go. He jumped off. He said, "Dad, that was amazing," until I hit the wall, the fence. And everybody had a wonderful time. We've been so blessed, truly blessed by the time we have spent here in Denver. I can speak for my wife, for my kids. The Brown family has been super. It's just so wonderful to be able to realize that there are so many others in the kingdom of heaven working for God. And even though our lives kind of journey in different, sometimes they cross, sometimes they come, it is wonderful to listen to the stories. And as you may know, Bob Brown is very shy. You have to, you know, go and put a hood and try to get words out of Bob, you know. And Bob is one that you have to, you know, really talk so he can talk. It was wonderful. And I think we were at fault because he kept talking and sharing, and we kind of forced him to talk a lot. But we enjoyed it. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Kelly, for the stories. We're blessed. We also had a great time on Friday evening. Members of the congregation came, and I really enjoyed talking to you guys, and thank you for the fellowship that we had. We weren't planning to stay here today, that's Friday night. We decided we will stay. We were drawn by your love. We were drawn by the fellowship and just the sharing of God together. So that night, Marina and I said, we should stay. Brother Ben had said, you should preach. Bob can't preach. You should do it. So he left me with that in mind. So guess what? At 1 o'clock in the morning, bling! Typical preacher. 2 Timothy came to mind. So if you can, go to your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 1. There was one passage, one line that came to mind. And that was verse 12. And you may have an NIV or New King James, King James. I don't have or use much of the English Bible because I preach mostly in Spanish. So it came to mind in Spanish, obviously. I was awakened by the passage in Spanish. In verse 12, where it says, "That is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet, this is no cause of shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am confident or convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." Right in my mind was, "I know whom I have believed." It was such a powerful message to me. At 1 o'clock in the morning, when Paul talks to Timothy about the life of a minister, the life of a Christian who has received a call, we have, Marina and I, talked about Colorado and how beautiful it is. We have enjoyed this time, but we enjoyed the most the fellowship and the getting to know you. There is something about the relationship, the connection that we have with one another, and we know why, and we know what. It's God. It is Jesus, our Savior. It is the reason why. And when I think about this passage, I realize every one of us, and we know this, have a call and a ministering God or from God. Each believer has been empowered by God with the Holy Spirit to make a difference in our ministry, where we work, where we fellowship, anywhere in the world. This wonderful call from God, brothers and sisters, it's one of giving, a gift. And I call these gifts, talent, time, treasures. And when we think about this and how we are to share, I think Paul took this time to tell Timothy, Timothy, you got something special. Hey, Timothy, you gotta realize that who you are, it's because God wanted that. It was because, or it is because of God's will. And that's what he says at the beginning. Two things. God and his will, and God and his purpose. And when you read that, we realize we inherited the same thing. We are who we are because the will of God. He wants us to be his children, his ambassadors, his hands, his eyes, his thoughts. So Paul goes through this process of giving Timothy background to explain about his conviction. I pass on to Timothy this great call. And he said, remember, beloved son, verse 2, remember three things. Grace. We are who we are, not because we deserve it. Because what God wants to give it to us. We are undeserving to receive anything from God. Grace. He also says, mercy. Aren't we blessed to not get what we deserve? We all are sinners. We all have failed. But God in Jesus has put everything that we have done, are doing, and will do for our sake. Erase them all. And we have this wonderful mercy that tells us you're not getting what you deserve. Because if you get what you deserve, you wouldn't be a candidate for heaven. And third, the peace of God the Father and His Son, that peace that surpasses understanding, according to Philippians 4:7, that peace that shields our hearts and guards our thoughts, as he says. So he goes through this to tell Timothy, what you got, that call, that special calling that you have come from God because he wants it, because he promises. And there are these things here. But I gotta tell you, I'm praying for you. Timothy, I'm praying for you, and I'm giving thanks for you. Because I remember your tears. I remember how you struggle. I remember how you suffer. And each of us know in our heart that being a Christian sometimes is very, very difficult. I mean, to be able to deny myself so I can do what God wants, it's difficult. But every day we're called to say no to self and yes to God. Because true love understands that when everything inside wants to say yes, you have to say no. And when everything inside wants to say no, you have to say yes. True love is to put God first. And he's saying, Timothy, I'm praying for you because I know your struggle. I'm praying for you because I know that you got something special. God set you up with two wonderful people in your life. Your mother and your grandmother. Timothy, look around at the people God set in your life in order to guide you in your journey to the destiny that God has fixed for you. Not just now, but way back before the foundation of the earth, God thought of you in such a manner that He put that family member, that friend, that person, special person, so you can be who you can be. That amazing legacy. And I, with my wife, were talking at one time. I'm thought about, what are we leaving behind? What is the legacy that we want? When we die, what is it that we want people to remember? And truly, that's of no importance. Because you know that within 50 years, probably not many people will think of us. So it is not my name or her name so much as what we left to others that we can remember by. So he gave an advice to Timothy in this chapter. Timothy, be careful. Don't let the fire be extinguished. Don't let the brightness of your gift be taken down. Timothy, think about how much God has given you. There is a special connection with God, you, and me. I laid my hands on you so you can receive something special. I took time. I took effort. Timothy, you got something special. But Timothy, you got to think about it. Sometimes we get afraid. Sometimes we are afraid to do something that we have deep in our hearts. Sometimes we wonder, sometimes we doubt ourselves, sometimes, like Timothy, we just go through life with the, I don't know, I'm not sure. That timid spirit that Paul saw, for some reason, he was afraid to let come out. So, Timothy, you have been given something powerful. Timothy, God has filled your heart with love. Timothy, you can do things and have self-control. Timothy, there is so much in your life. Don't be timid. Use them. Use them and waste them in the kingdom. Invest your life. Don't be ashamed. Don't let the world dictate how you are going to serve God. Because sometimes we do that. We are called not to be conformed, but to be transformed. Timothy, if you let the world influence you so much, you won't be able to find your gift, to partake in what God has called you. I want you to join me, Timothy, Paul says. I want you to be of one mind with me. And though I am in chains, though I am in prison, though men dictate where I need to go, don't be ashamed. Timothy, don't look at the walls of my cell. Timothy, don't look at the appearance around me. Timothy, don't look at my lack of money. Don't look at my lack of class, maybe my limitations. Timothy, share with me. Share with me the afflictions of Christ. And brothers and sisters, that's what we're called to. Everything we have been given has a purpose. So we can find that which we have received from God. God has a plan, a purpose. Without those purposes being used, utilize those talents or gifts, time, treasures that you and I have received, we can partake on those sufferings. See, it is something special, and he called it suffering for the gospel. So the gospel is the reason for the suffering. See, we all suffer. We know that. There is no, we're not going to argue that everybody suffers. But am I suffering for the gospel? And every suffering for the gospel is different. Or am I suffering because of my own decisions? Because when I suffer for my own decisions, I suffer because of my power or lack of it. But when I suffer because of the gospel, I suffer because of his power. Partake in my suffering, Timothy. Don't skip experiencing loss, negative emotions, criticism, perhaps abuse. Suffer for the gospel. You, brothers and sisters, have been called here to suffer for the gospel. I don't know the specific details in your life. This I know. You have been given something special. And God will use you mightily if you trust him. So he goes into this suffering according to his purpose. He talks about the manifestation of the power, of his power, and in the appearance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, this manifestation, God wants to flex his muscle in our life. Yes. God enjoys showing glory to his children. It's not about Bob, Norberto, Amanda, Kelly, Marina. It's about Jesus. It's about his display in our lives. It's about setting the case as a testimony to others of what God can do in our lives through the power of Jesus Christ and him resurrected, risen, and being seated in the seat of God, sharing with God all dominion over all things, and in his kingdom, right, each of us to give ourselves so he can be King of Kings in our life and Lord of Lords in our life. That is what Paul is trying to put together so you understand that suffering for the gospel is the reason of our calling. And because of his power, he wants to use that suffering so we, as children, can fulfill and exchange with him what little we have, so he can take that little we have and work mightily in our lives and in others. See, why did he suffer? He puts it in verse 12. That is why I'm suffering. Because it was the will of God that I'll be an apostle. He promised me that he will be with me as an apostle. And I have to be reminded what Philippians 1:29 says. It is given in the behalf of Christ. It's given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12, this says also, we should walk or lead a life worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So you and I have been given divine goals. We have been given a special yearning, desire to please God, accepting the challenges that He has given us. We should and shall suffer physically, emotionally, spiritually, even morally, because when you enter this call that is so intimate with Christ and with God, every situation in the church, every situation with our brethren, every situation in the world touches. When somebody is sick, we also partake on that as suffering. When somebody is needed, we also partake in their need, because we are the church of Christ. And He died for each of us on the cross. So when I had those thoughts at 1 o'clock in the morning, I told Bob, it was for me like I was you know, either listening to the sermon or watching a movie. But one thing, it says, I know whom I have believed. And I remember this phrase: the greatest distance, the most difficult distance for a human being to travel is 12 inches. The first time I heard 12 inches from your brain to your heart. As an educator, that's something I try to tell the kids. These two have to be connected. Yes, you can have knowledge, but that knowledge has to go down to your heart to create conviction. So Paul has connected those two things. I know whom I have believed. You know that Romans 10:10 says something fascinating. For man believes with his heart. It is important that each Christian makes those connections. Yes, when the Word of God is preached, we process it. We hear it. And the Bible teaches that faith comes from hearing. But we have to consider this connection, so we believe with our hearts. I was trying to understand where we lost that connection. Where did we fail to connect? And I think I can go back to Genesis chapter 3. When in verse 6, Eve looks at the tree, and it was desirable to attain wisdom. And at that moment, when she looks at the tree and when she seeks wisdom that is not godly wisdom, which is pure, according to James 4:15 or 4:16, I believe, or 3:16, I'm sorry, 17, I'm sorry, pure, peaceful, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy. When she goes after that wisdom, in James 3:15 says that there was a separation, because that was diabolic, that was animal, that was human wisdom. She didn't know it was appealing, but it happened that boom, it divides thought and heart. And ever since, we have that struggle. And Jeremiah 9:24 says, let him who glory in this, that he understand and knows me, that I am the Lord, that practice steadfast love, justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. Hosea 6:3, let us press on to know the Lord. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So, we look at the life of suffering of many believers. And I remember Job, when in chapter 42, 2 to 5, if you read it, it says in one section, now my eyes see thee. Because before I heard with my ears, but now I can see you. After what? After losing everything. After losing his children, his treasures, even his health. Now I understand. Now I can see. It reminds me of Psalms 46:10. You can remember this. If I say be and I add still, you know what I'm talking about. Be still and know I'm God. And the people who, I would say the theologians, argue, what is that? Cease to struggle. Cease the fight. Cease fighting. Because inside of our heart, we have to struggle back and forth. We have this struggle. We don't know. I get anxious like you and worry about the future, about my children. And sometimes I have to admit I cried before my wife because I don't know. I want to know, God. I want to know. I want to know where you want me, God. And I have this struggle. But the passage is saying, no. Calm down. Stop. I know I'm God. And these 11 verses talk about fortress, about trusting. And this part is what Paul is trying to say to Timothy. Timothy, the life that God has given us, the call that we have, it's a struggle, it's a suffering. Don't be ashamed. Don't be moved. Don't be timid. It is part of growing to know God. And that is why he can say, I have counted everything as lost. Everything. So I can know God. So the struggle, sometimes we don't know. I remember the widow with Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17, 12 to 16, that he shows up out of nowhere, and she's preparing the last meal. And he says, well, serve, prepare the meal, and give it to me first. This is the last meal. We're going to prepare to die. But she does it. And boy, did she see a miracle. The food never stopped from oil and flour never stopped. Oh, wow, how wonderful. This is great. Wow, we can eat. We're not going to die. And then something happens. Her son died. And she looked at Elijah like, what do you have with me? Why do you do this? You get my heart so excited about you, God. And now you're bringing my sins to my mind. And my son, my only son, is dead. Give me your son. And he prays to God. Why? But he doesn't stop there. He just go and perform a miracle. But what she says, What she says in verse 24 of chapter 17 of 1 Kings, she says, "Now I know." And it seems that sometimes we have to see something die in our life to be able to say, "I know. I know that you are a man of God." So I wanted to share these thoughts with you so we continue to make this connection. There was a man called David Whittle, if I can say it right, born in 1840, participated in the American Civil War, and he was so grateful, and his confidence grew in God, that he was able to get out of that horrible war, go on to become a successful businessman, and he wrote that, "I know whom I have believed." And no, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but is one of those songs that really give you peace. So let us continue letting God transform us. I am an educator, and we focus on education. Jails and prisons focus on reformation. But we are in the business of transformation. God wants us, first, each of us, to be transformed, not conformed. So let us allow God, like somebody said, let go and let God to work in our lives, because He is able. He's our only security. If you go to a bank, or whomever is going to talk to you about investment, they're going to talk about CDs, they're going to talk about stocks, they're going to talk about this and that. And each of them has a different level of security or risks. There is no risk in trusting God. And there is no other we can trust. So, as we sing, will you trust in the most powerful security that we have? And His name is Jesus. Would you respond? If you feel this is a time for restoration and transformation, please be open to allow God and to let go. May God bless you.
To follow Jesus, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Don't go with me till I will follow. Don't know what with me, still will follow. Lord, have you with me, still will follow. No turning back, no turning back.